This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, another interesting day across the commodity sector as we watch the Fed announcement, as well as more news out of Russia and their fight against Ukraine, and much more swirling around the market trade. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us once again here on Market Talk. Great to be with you. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Appreciate you making time to join us here today as we take a look at the market trade and issues impacting rural America. So much to talk about on today's show. We have the Fed meeting wrapping up here on Wednesday afternoon. We're going to talk about that, the latest news coming out of the Fed meeting with that expected interest rate hike. We're also going to highlight the issues, the tensions rising again between Russia and Ukraine, as Russian President Vladimir Putin coming out and announcing that he's mobilizing 300,000 troops, first mobilization of Russian troops since World War II, as well as making some veiled threats to use all means necessary, including nuclear weapons, in the fight. So a lot of issues there, watching the headlines and kind of the tug of war between the macros and the headline side of the equation. On top of that, you got harvest pressure in the markets and much more. Really just kind of an interesting trade day on Wednesday, pretty much across the board. We're going to talk about all of it coming up here on the show today. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, going to join us in segment two and three to try and explain and give us his thoughts on what's happening in the market space. Also coming up later in the show, we're going to talk to Pat Spinoza, Director of Business Development at Ag America. They have a new partnership surrounding country music and highlighting National Farmers Day coming up on October 12th. We're going to learn more about the new partnership they have with a Nashville country music entity. That's coming up here at the end of today's show. First up, though, let's dive a little bit into the market trade and get some thoughts and analysis on Wednesday's market action. I was joined around midday with Arlen Suderman of StoneX as he joined us to talk about what he was seeing in the market trade. And he really talked about that kind of push-pull, that ebb and flow between the macro picture with the Fed and the headline trade that's kind of been weighing into the markets. We discussed that throughout the grain and commodity space. We'll talk a little bit about stocks and energies. And then we also look at livestock, which fared pretty choppy on the day on a Wednesday, turning lower. I have a cattle on feed report coming up on Friday. We have cold storage numbers on Thursday. A lot of things report-wise coming up in the livestock trade as well. So we're going to get Arlen's thoughts right now from our midday commentary. Here's Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX.
Yeah, it really comes back to a tug of war between which is the more dominant story today. And that varies somewhat by market, but we see an ebb and flow of the money as it kind of swings between one headline and the other. And a lot of it is headline driven today. And it comes down primarily between the Federal Reserve's monetary policy announcement that'll be this afternoon, and how aggressively hawkish will the Fed be, and what might the impact on the economy and demand for commodities be, and Russian President Putin's decisions and actions over the last 24 hours that have seen him take steps to annex four oblasts of Ukraine, regions of Ukraine, kind of activate some of the military conscripts within his country to bring people out of retirement and out of the reserves into service to kind of escalate the war in Ukraine, since things have been going against him over the past month there, and the threat of potential nuclear weapons and what that might do to further isolate Russia and shut down trade from the Black Sea region. And so we've seen these times when the focus was on the Fed and it's a large selling of the commodities based on fear that we're going to see the economy tank and demand for commodities fall. And then wheat leads things back because of fears that we're going to have food shortages. And at times we'll see corn show that strength as well as soybeans and oilseeds. So it's been an ebb and flow between these headlines in the markets today.
Well, and looking as well here at the stocks and energies a little more on the Fed side, I'd have to think that might be weighing it a bit there, more so than the news headlines out of Ukraine. But the Dow fairly quiet today, crude oil off a little bit. It seems like stocks and energies really probably waiting until that Fed announcement this afternoon, Arlen.
Yeah, more of a bounce in the equities, and that's really kind of the calming factor. We're still seeing the VIX trade up there near 27, so the fear levels on Wall Street are still relatively elevated, but you really wouldn't know it looking at the equities at this hour. But as you look at the energy market, it traded higher overnight based on the developments coming out of Russia. But in the day trade today, it's been all about the Federal Reserve and what the Fed's actions might do to the economy and therefore demand for energy. We're seeing some of that ebb and flow, trying to firm a little bit again on some of the actions out of Russia. But this is kind of, again, the market kind of determining which sector you're in and which headlines you want to focus on.
And the livestock sector really just kind of a little bit of a choppy range-bound trade, it appears, in cattle and hogs. I know cattle looking ahead to Friday's cattle on feed report, and I know we have cold storage numbers out Thursday for the hog sector. So any thoughts on this protein market here as we move through Wednesday?
Yeah, we're starting to see some higher numbers on the hog slaughter, and this is time and weight seasonally move higher as well. And so we're seeing a little bit of pressure in lean hog, particularly with some of the economic concerns that we're seeing in the outside markets, not necessarily in the equities, but in the broader commodities. But in the cattle market, that's where we're expecting to see tighter supplies as we go each month that goes forward. You mentioned the cattle on feed report coming out on Friday, where placements are still expected to show the drought conditions in the western part of the country. But with declining numbers, as the cow herd's been declining now over the last couple of years, finally starting to show up as well. And it's basically expectations of steady to firmer cash this week, providing underlying support for live cattle futures as well.
And again, that is comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joining us for our midday commentary on Wednesday, talking about the market trade. A news item I wanted to share with you here today. 15 Republican members of the U.S. House of Representatives have renewed calls for EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to delay any new rulemaking on waters of the U.S., asking the heads of the agencies this week to allow the Supreme Court to issue a ruling in an upcoming Clean Water Act case. In a letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan and Michael L. Connor, Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works, the members of the Water Resources and Environment Subcommittee also pointed to a recent Supreme Court decision that now limits the EPA's authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions as a reason to allow Congress to redefine WOTUS. The letter said, quote, "As ranking members of several House committees, including those overseeing your agencies, we intend to exercise our robust investigative and legislative authority to not only forcefully reassert our Article I responsibilities, but to ensure the Biden administration does not continue to exceed congressional authorizations," end quote. The House members have asked the agencies to provide to the subcommittee by October 4th a list of expected and pending WOTUS rulemakings from the agencies. All right, well, coming up here on Market Talk, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to be joined by Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, to go over Wednesday's market action. We're going to dive more into the Fed announcement on interest rates, as well as the headlines coming out of the Russia-Ukraine war, what that could mean. All of that and more is on the way next as we continue with more Market Talk coming up right after the break.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, another volatile trading day on Wednesday with plenty of things to discuss in the markets. Joining us to go through things and provide analysis, our good friend Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, good to catch up with you again, sir. It was great to sit down with you in person last week at Big Iron in Fargo. And here we are back on another trading day with just a lot of news in these markets, Mike. Just plenty of stuff going on, but hopefully you had a good week so far.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. Busy week, a lot of coffee, but hey, we're living through historic times, so we got a lot to tell our grandchildren, I guess.
That's very, very true. A lot of things to talk about. I think first off, top of mind, Wednesday afternoon, the Fed came back out with another 75 basis point rate increase, the third in a row. And I know that was kind of the headline into the Wednesday afternoon's trade. The dollar spiked to another 20-year high. It sounded like maybe those comments were a little more hawkish than the trade expected in their press conference. I just love your thoughts on what you saw from the Fed after their two-day meeting wrapped up Wednesday.
Yeah, it was an interesting analysis that they gave, because in my pre-Fed analysis to clients and subscribers this week, I went through the model data and what I think the Fed typically looks at in terms of high frequency and their own modeling, and suggested that they will see a lot slower growth. That part of the analysis was correct. The Federal Reserve went from a 2022 growth here in the United States from 1.7% 3 months ago down to 0.2% today. And so we have essentially cut all of our growth out of this economy in the United States due to mostly the issues of the Federal Reserve raising their rates so aggressively. And how aggressive is aggressive? Well, this is a two-year Treasury yield futures. And so this is showing you the real-time interest rate on two-year T-bills from the U.S. Treasury. And we eclipsed at midday 4%. That took us up to the highest level since right as the Great Recession was starting to occur in late 2007 and heading into 2008, before we made that 2009 bottom and we were able to get the worst over by the time we got to 2009. But this is kind of the historical scope that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the situation where the market is now at 15-year highs in short-term money. Credit card statements are at those same type of highs. I guess I'll finish it this way in this first question, Jesse. It's not a surprise to see the emerging markets be at their lowest levels since 2011. When you look at like the Hong Kong Stock Exchange and you see the 10-year bond yields or the 5-year bond yields at their highest levels since 2011, those two things are working hand in hand to squash the growth. And the Fed said that today. But what I was wrong about was that they not only did, and I was correct that they would do only 0.75%. Some were starting to say they'd do a full percentage point. But what I was wrong about was that they said, look, we are at 3 to 3.25% right now after today. We're going all the way to 4.4%. And by the end of the year, that means at least another 0.75% rate hike, followed by maybe another 0.25% to 0.5% rate hike. And I think we're getting, in my opinion, into dangerous territory at this point when it comes to overall demand. And as you said, that's what sparked that dollar into making fresh 20-year highs. And it really opens the door that the 120 level in the U.S. dollar index that we peaked out at in 2001, 2002 is very much on the table at this point.
Well, you mentioned that, and I just have to think that the overall Fed policy and the continued rate hikes, I can't imagine, just you alluded to many of the things there, how much of a headwind this is going to be for commodities moving forward, how much of a headwind it's going to be for everyone moving forward. What is this going to do, you know, to inflation in general? I know they're trying to curb inflation, but to me, we keep seeing this go higher and higher. You know, where does the buck stop, so to speak, Mike?
Yeah, and this is the thing. I really question whether they are going to be able to stop inflation, because inflation is baked into the wages. And yeah, you can slow down your demand and your consumption by these higher interest rates, but your wages are still going to stay elevated. And so the inflationary number, because of the wages and because of the pandemic and because of the supply chain issues, and now because of Putin and Russia, and the latest with him, how can energy prices go down at this point in the real world? And I think that's what I sit back and I say to myself, what am I missing with the Fed policy being so aggressive, given that this has caused push inflation? And I was just listening to one of my favorite economists on Bloomberg, Diane Swonk. She's been around forever and one of the best current day economists, in my opinion, to listen to. And she herself said they had to get underneath this inflation and tamp it down, but they may create a whole new set of problems. And I guess bottom lining it out, Jesse, for you and the audience, I think that's where we're headed, is we're going to have a brand new set of problems that we're going to have to contend with in 3 to 6 months.
Well, you mentioned Russia and President Vladimir Putin. That's the other big story in the headlines here, it appears, this week, as he has come out. He has mobilized some 300,000 reservists now to add to the war effort. I believe it's the first mobilization since World War II.
That's right.
You throw on top of that this referendum in eastern Ukraine, some of these territories, to whether or not they want to be annexed to Russia, and then also some veiled threats about using nuclear weapons. All of this, it just seems like it's given this wheat market a bit of momentum to put in war premium. But I also know that wheat market is typically, you know, in line. The dollar is always kind of an ebb and flow in that wheat market. So talk to me about just some of this Fed policy combined with the Russia-Ukraine situation and how that's playing into the wheat market, because wheat's been kind of the big mover here so far this week.
Yeah, I think we start from the premise that the market has overestimated the success of Ukraine in that it was going to force Vladimir Putin to back down. If you start with that assumption, then what he has done this week makes a lot more sense. In other words, that he had to step it up and take back advantage of an offensive type mindset instead of playing the defense because of the Ukrainian military successes. And what I'm getting at, Jesse, is the idea that because of him doing this, the market, I think, has to go back and reevaluate, did we take too much premium out of the wheat market? And I think they did. I think that's the bottom line here when it comes to if he mobilizes these 300,000 troops, if he's successful without being overthrown domestically, which I would rate that at probably 25% to 30% odds that he would be overthrown domestically at this point, that if that goes ahead and gets started, then we are sitting at a situation where not only do we have to worry about the shipping channel no longer being a done deal, that goes away. We also have to think about the acreage base for the new crop winter wheat. We also have to think about the harvest base for the newly harvested corn, beans, and oil seeds in Ukraine, that those are all now on the table. Again, we reinforce the supply bull while the Federal Reserve today reinforced the demand bear. And we keep living through this time period. And what I did for clients yesterday, I went through where I think Vladimir Putin is headed with this moratorium and the movement towards the mobilization, moratorium towards being able to get out of going to fight in a war. The idea of trying to put together the Federal Reserve and the wheat market, directly to your point of can the wheat go higher and the dollar go higher? And I would say, yes, under these circumstances, there are two distinct fundamental situations that could make both the dollar and the wheat a safe haven to the market. But that may come at the expense of other commodities like wheat and corn. We don't know that part yet. So what we're looking at is a soft red wheat chart. And we notice how we went back down to about the 750 level. We took out all of the Ukraine premium. We went all the way back down to where we were back at the end of 2021, early 2022. Now we've been able to recapture the $9 level and start to inch back using that Fibonacci retracement, which is those blue lines. We're starting to inch back and gain back some premium. My opinion is it would not surprise me to see another dollar higher in soft red wheat to where we're clearing the $10 level in lead month futures and trying to get back to about a 50% retracement or gain back about half that premium. The other part of this chart that I think is really intriguing is that, and this goes to your question, the first orange circle back during 2020 was when the Federal Reserve said, we're going to let inflation in. Well, that was your low in the commodity markets, and it was definitely your low in the wheat market as you look back at it. And now, as we fast forward to early 2022, back in March, that's when the Federal Reserve turned inflation fighter, Superman with kryptonite in terms of what inflation was to him. And now you saw those highs made almost immediately by the end of the month of March. So that brings us back to the black dotted line. That's your 52-week moving average. This is a weekly chart. We've been able to get back up above the 52-week moving average for the first time since July, but we haven't closed this week yet. So if we close above the 52-week moving average, that black dotted line, I'm going to say the momentum has shifted and we have soft red wheat going up another leg to the upside.
And again, we're having a conversation today with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. Appreciate him joining us here. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk a little bit more about the corn and soybean markets coming up. We're also going to take a look at livestock. Fairly lower trade in livestock seen on Wednesday with cattle and hogs under pressure. We're going to discuss all of that and more coming up here as we continue on Market Talk. A few closing numbers also. December corn down 6.5, 685.5. November beans down 17.5, 1461 at a quarter. Chicago wheat December up 10, 903 at 3/4. December KC wheat up 4, 967. December spring wheat up 5, 964 at a quarter. We'll take a look at more numbers coming up after the break. Back with more Market Talk with Mike Zuzulo on the way right after this.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, is our guest analyst on the show today. And coming up, we're going to continue the conversation with Mike in just a minute. We're going to talk the quarter bean market, I know, on the way. Let's take a look at some of the closing numbers from Wednesday's trade action. First, December corn down 6.5, 685.5. March corn down 6.5, 690.25. Soybeans, November 17.5, lower 1461.25. Deja vu in the January contract down 17.5, 1467. Bean meal October 390 a ton higher, 454.70. December down 60 cents a ton, 438.80. Bean oil October down 76 points, 67.83. December down 91 at 65 even. December Chicago wheat 10 higher, 903 at 3/4. March up 8, 915 at a quarter. KC wheat December up 4, 967. March up 4, 963.5. Spring wheat December 5 higher, 964.25. March spring wheat, that was up 6.25, 968.5. December oats up 4.5, 417 at 3/4. And canola up 1660 at 802.20. Over in livestock, live cattle October down 42 at 145.87. December down 32, 150.75. February down 30, 154.90. September feeder cattle 62, lower 178.17. October down 80, 179.22. Hogs October down 155, 94, 42. December down 172, 86, 45. February hogs down 150 at 90, 65. And also in the cotton market on the day, Wednesday, nice move there, up 371 points in October at 97. Well, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics, is our guest today here on the show. Mike, let's talk the corn market a little bit. Down just a little bit on Wednesday's trade. Corn really feels like it's maybe butting up against some of this psychological resistance at $7. And in my opinion, obviously the dynamics we've talked about with the dollar, with the Russia-Ukraine situation. What are your thoughts in this corn market and just some of the price action you've seen here so far this week?
I think corn becomes more like beans, Jesse, and that's where I can give you a lot tighter answer. I mean, I think the corn can help be helped by the wheat, but only to a point. I agree with you. That 695 close above is a must have for the bull at this point, in my opinion. And I think the thing that the corn does not have that the wheat has going for it is we're in harvest. The early yields so far are pretty decent from what I've heard on both sides of the corn belt, but mainly the Western corn belt. We don't have a weather market in Argentina like we do with the wheat belt and the hard red wheat here in the United States. We don't have that in the corn. We're in the middle of harvest now, and we're ramping up on the harvest. And the last thing that I think is the most important when it comes to what you and I talk about every week is the Commitment of Traders report. Funds are net short soft red wheat, and they're still carrying over 200,000 contracts net long of corn. And I've got to wonder, okay, if the dollar keeps going higher, is that just going to turn the wheat corn spread into the favorite spread for the time being? So I am of the view that if we can't see corn and beans both join the wheat here in the short term, I'm going to get busy and get some puts bought off the combine sales done for the corn along with the beans.
Well, a little bit more on this bean market, Mike. I know that demand has been fairly so-so. This is kind of our window to sell soybeans as we wait for those Brazil, Argentine supplies, et cetera. This soybean market, it had a really good day to start the week. Then we kind of trended mixed to lower now on Wednesday's action. What are your thoughts in the soybean trade? Anything different than the corn market that you just mentioned?
Yeah, quite a bit. It's now back to my leader to the downside because early beans are coming in very good. I talked to clients in Nebraska, also some clients back east, and they're able to get in like Kentucky. They were getting into some early beans, getting into the 80s with their beans. Irrigated beans in Nebraska, they're getting low to mid 70s. Better than what was expected, I think, is the general mindset. And you notice after the Federal Reserve meeting today, Jesse, we made new lows in the soybeans along with the S&P 500. So we were more than 25 cents lower off of that 1495. That's again like the 695 level in the corn. 1495 level is a must close above for the bean bull to feel confident, I think, to step back in. So I think the beans are back to being the leader to the downside. Makes sense given that China is booking more and more Argentine beans. Brazil is planting unabated right now in terms of new crop beans, and China is buying less and less beans. I think it was the update just a couple days ago that the year-to-date, marketing year-to-date imports from China of U.S. beans and Brazil beans were down 15 and 5% respectively. So They're just not buying as much. You and I have talked about that all year long. I see that continuing at these price levels.
Well, I think this all goes to, you know, maybe lend credence to the thought that as we get into harvest more, farmers are on the combine, they're busy, risk management wise, having that plan, but also paying attention as best as you can to what's going on. We're working with a trusted advisor to make sure you know what's going on in case, you know, the bottom falls out here and we go to the downside.
Yeah, I mean, I to give you an example, and this is not representative of everything I do, but to give you an example, buying the bean puts at around 30 cents. They're now down to about 15 cents, but look at what the soybeans have been able to rally back to when we did that. And those bean puts are still very viable options, I think, in terms of if the market does start to break down again. So that I think you're right. This is where you've got to be cognizant of the idea that we are in historical times. We did see $14+ wheat, and we can see it again, given the right conditions, even if the dollar is at a 20-year high, at least for a time period. So you've got to have some flexibility in your risk management plan at this time, in these historic times we live in.
Mike, let's talk livestock, cattle, and hog markets. I'll start with the hogs first on Wednesday. This hog market looks like it had found some technical support, and then we kind of drifted to the downside, especially in the front month contracts at Wednesday's close. I'm wondering, was that maybe a reaction to the Fed news, or was that something else you saw in the hog trade?
No, I do think it was a reaction to the Fed news, and I think they were pre-pricing or kind of jumping out before the Fed came out too, Jesse. I think the trade starts all over again because China's reportedly going to sell more pork out of their reserves. They still need to cool off their domestic prices, and so I'm of the view that even though the cash hog market tends to weaken pretty dramatically until we get into the ham seasonal at Christmas time, this is the time period where I think the market is very well underpinned. So I'm going to say the hog market is in a sideways to higher mindset because of what the Chinese pork market's doing. But China still leads me in the hog sector.
On the cattle side, you're out there in the Central Plains in cattle country. I know we haven't seen a whole lot of feedlot activity, cash trade this week. Got a cattle on feed report coming up on Friday. I wonder if traders are just being extra cautious ahead of that report, considering last month's cattle on feed report gave us some surprises.
Yeah, I think that's right. And also we noticed that the futures market in the October is trading the premium of the Northern Plains. I was watching a bunch of auctions this week after I returned from Big Iron at 145, 146, even 148 for really good black cows, black steers were really, really up in there as far as strong demand on these auctions in the Dakotas. But we haven't seen enough trade in the South. So October's got the Northern premium baked into it. Dees has now cleared 151. It's getting up there to that hedge level again of 152 plus for me. My mindset is if we don't get good, strong marketings, that 105 average estimate on the cattle on feed report, we don't get that 105 number. The demand bull says, let's take some money off the table here because the cycle and some of the length of time we've run higher in cattle, I think is starting to wear against us at this point.
Well, and I wonder as well, overall in the protein sector, again, kind of circling back to the Fed news and inflation and recession talk, you know, what is consumer demand going to look like here in the fourth quarter? Grocery store, I mean, prices aren't getting any cheaper, Mike. I was just at the grocery store this morning. I mean, it's one of those things where people, if they want a steak, they're trying to find a way to make it happen. But still, at the end of the day, prices are really high, and how long can, you know, consumers put up with high prices?
No, that $5 break in the wheat and the 30% less in the unleaded fuel just isn't being transferred into what we're looking at the grocery stores. You're absolutely right. And that's probably to kind of make it more succinct, thanks to you, that's what's the most troubling aspect of the Federal Reserve monetary policy right now, is that if you want investors to come into this market, I don't think they're going to dare come in against the and buy equities or commodities, given the pace that we're raising and the fact that they're not neutral at this point. We got to have a Fed that's neutral, in my opinion, Jesse, to get the risky assets back in favor and get the emerging markets to not have to suffer from this dollar.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always. Before we run out of time, floor is yours. Any final thoughts for us today?
I think it's a great time to get a trial. I think that globalcomresearch.com free trial is an excellent tool to at least take a look at what we do, and hopefully we can help you make better decisions.
globalcomresearch.com. That is com with two M's, globalcomresearch.com. Sign up for that free trial. We appreciate the time and analysis as always. With that, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Have a fantastic rest of your week, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Coming up next here on Market Talk, we're not done. We're going to talk to Pat Spinoza with Ag America. They have a cool collaboration with Country Music's Whiskey Jam for National Farmers Day. We're going to talk about it coming up next here on Market Talk. Back with more right after the break.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Pat Spinoza, Director of Business Development at Ag America. Pat, good to catch up with you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jesse. I'm glad I get to hop on the show and talk to you today.
Yeah, well, we appreciate the time, and I know we were going to do this in person, but some logistics changed. Happy to get you on video with me here today to talk about this really exciting stuff. Ag America got the Ag Ambassador Program, and also kind of tying this in with National Farmers Day. You guys are partnering with Whiskey Jam, which I'm very familiar with, being from Nashville and knowing the country music industry, a very prominent group in Nashville in the country music industry. So talk a little bit just first how this all kind of came about. What sparked Ag America's interest in partnering with Whiskey Jam?
Yes, that's a good question, Jesse. So Whiskey Jam, Brian and Ward, when Ag America decided to give some brand effort to the Nashville scene, Ryan and Ward were with the American Farmer. Obviously, that's what happened to get the Ag Ambassador Program started. And the reason why we did that is because it's not that hard to figure out, and you're a singer-songwriter yourself, Jesse. These guys don't just get dropped off on Broadway by a UFO and know how to sing. I mean, these are real people from real places with real stories that are telling the adversity and the celebrations and the fun that rural America has. So it was a no-brainer to do the country music aspect, and Whiskey Jam giving that platform to these country musicians that come into Nashville was a no-brainer partnership.
Well, and thinking about, you know, country music and agriculture, I think they go hand in hand, Pat. I mean, just thinking about, you know, what are a lot of farmers or ranchers listening to? They're listening to country music when they're working on the farm day in, day out. They have their favorite station on. They're getting their ag reports, et cetera. And so it just seems like a partnership of this nature, you know, celebrating National Farmers Day, it really just is kind of a no-brainer when you think about it.
It really is, Jesse. I come from a seventh generation citrus and cattle family here myself in Florida. And I always joke about country music's the only thing that doesn't get argued about at a family reunion. I mean, half of us drive Chevys, half of us drive Ford, half of us cheer for the Gators, half of us cheer for the Seminoles. Country music is one thing we can agree on, and I truly believe that goes across the nation. So that's why we're trying to reach every single farmer in this country within country music, because to be honest with you, Jesse, the farmer's changing in a good way. We're welcoming millennials into agriculture now, and it's time to celebrate that instead of looking down on us millennials. Now it's our time.
Well, Pat, talk to me a little bit more about the Ag Ambassador Program with Ag America and some of the bones behind that program.
Yeah, so the Ag Ambassador Program was built to shed light on an industry that just quite frankly doesn't get enough light shed on them. And we want to make sure it's known that people understand where their food comes from. People understand that a natural disaster isn't just something that we can throw a hurricane party. This is something that's going to ruin somebody's operation that's feeding the country. So how can we go about throughout the whole country and shed light? One of our first major partnerships was with Dylan Carmichael, who you probably know, Montgomery Gentry's nephew out of Kentucky. And he went on 130 stops this year to play country music on the Ag America tour bus. And you could see that Ag America tour bus running through rural America the whole year. And that was the first big step we took in shedding light on this industry.
Fantastic. Well, if folks want to learn more, Pat, about the Ag Ambassador Program through Ag America, or just learn about all of the great things that Ag America is doing, I'm sure they'd go online. That'd probably be a great start, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. AgAmerica.com. And when you think about the National Farmers Day contest, go to agamerica.com/stories and have fun. Partake in it within social media. We've got a hashtag called AgAmericanProud. Throw that up on your social media. And honestly, let's win you a trip to Nashville, which is where Whiskey Jam comes in. The winner of this National Farmers Day contest gets a Nashville experience hosted by Ryan and Ward over Whiskey Jam.
And I know as well with that contest, I believe, isn't there a Spotify playlist put together with various country artists that kind of have songs that talk about rural America and more?
Yep. The contest is everybody gets to share their favorite song that helps them remember of who their farmer is in their life, or just really makes them remember about agriculture. And we're partnering with Whiskey Jam and building that playlist, and it's called The Soundtrack of the American Farmer, and we're really excited to unleash that October 12th, which is National Farmers Day this year.
And again, October 12th, as Pat just mentioned, National Farmers Day. You can learn more about this great contest and the great partnership between Ag America and Whiskey Jam. Again, just go online, check it all out on Ag America's website. AgAmerica.com is a great place to start. Pat, anything else we missed today that you want to mention before we run out of time?
All I can encourage is out there, go to agamerica.com. We're here to help in any way, whether it's celebrating the farmer or helping you with your operation. You can go to agamerica.com, and we're a company that thrives day in and day out to build financial products to help you in your operation.
Well, with that, Director of Business Development at Ag America, Pat Spinoza, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
And again, that is Pat Spinoza, Director of Business Development with Ag America. We appreciate him joining us here today. Really cool partnership they have with Whiskey Jam, Nashville-based concert and country music promotion company, enterprise. Really great folks at Whiskey Jam highlighting National Farmers Day on October 12th. Again, to learn more, go to agamerica.com. That's online, agamerica.com. Well, it has been a very busy day once again in the trade. Plenty of things to watch as we move forward here, as we're going to be watching the continued headlines out of Russia, what's happening with that situation. Also, the impact of the latest Fed news. What does that do to the markets moving forward? We have cattle on feed coming up Friday. We have cold storage numbers on Thursday. We have weekly export sales on Thursday as well. So plenty of things to watch for in the market trade as we move forward. We'll talk with Brian Doherty, Total Farm Marketing, coming up tomorrow on the show. We'll also have a conversation with David Widmar of Agricultural Economic Insights. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.